Folks, it has been a while since we talked something, but so many things have happened, and almost there's not even a day goes by when we hear some stupid ideas from Pakistan, stupid events in Pakistan, and stupid fight between the government and the non-government sections of the country, judges being harassed and kidnapped and blackmailed. The bureaucracy is under pressure because the GHQ and ISI gang has their videos as well, and even the police is in such a abysmal condition that they do not believe that the country has any law or constitution. Since last 3 years, although the Punjab police basically has been corrupt for last 76 years, and they have been looting and plundering the nation in every town of the country, but in the last 3 years they have crossed every limit, and their thuggery, their banditry, and their barbarism has been meted down on civilian people in a way never seen in the history of the world. I mean, everybody knows that police is the first line of defense in a civilization, but when the first line of defense goes so berserk and is under so much pressure by GSU gang that they believe that the country has no law, they don't have to follow any law, they don't have to help people but help themselves and all that. Like 2 weeks ago, there had been an incident in Bhavnagar, Punjab, where some police people, they attacked the house and they took the people in the police station, and they beat them and they humiliated the mother and the wives and other thing, and they did all kind of barbarism. But to their bad luck, that guy was an army police or working somebody in the army, and then he brought more than 20 goons to that police station, and they beat the hell out of them, and they beat them so badly that they can be seen crying, lying on the floor and shouting, "Maaf kar do, please forgive us, we are brothers," and all that. I mean, such a joke this country has become that it is impossible that any sane person can call it a country. And thanks to the same third class Interpol GSQ gang who has violated everything in the country, they are running parallel government and they don't care about anybody. I mean, they have manipulated the current election so much that one of the anchor, which I don't like him, I think his name is Abdul Hassan, and he does a lot of drama under some live events or something, but he himself said that the kind of corruption and kind of mishaps happening in this election have never happened anywhere in the world ever. This is how bad these elections were, and everybody knows that they were manipulated and they were totally made up. One example, he said that we heard that somebody was leading by more than 35,000, and the next day in the morning when they woke up, they were told that she lost by 10,000 or 12,000. We're talking about Khwaja Asif, the PMLN goon and the defense minister of the country in the previous government. And he's again, I believe, the defense minister. So the people who were the favorite of GSQ, they were handed over the seats against their opponents who were winning by thousands of votes. And everything in the country is at the mercy of these bastards who have no conscience, who have no self-respect, and they are truly, truly a bastard even from their gene. Time should come when we have to check their genetic, and it can be proved easily that all the top generals of Pakistan Army, they are absolute bastards. They have no shame, and nowhere in the world even a street person will be so barbaric to another human being. Even in jungle we see some mercy on other animals by the carnivores, the animals who eat meat. When their stomach is full, they don't do anything to any other animal. They just go and take rest until they are hungry again, and then they go after and kill another animal to feed themselves. But in Pakistan, we have this bastard army who 24/7 is destroying the nation. I mean, the situation is so bad that I have said many times that even Imran Khan comes, he will not be able to save this country, because it's not just the army, it is the culture and religion which has totally poisoned their brain, which has totally made them blind, and they don't see or check anything they are doing. Like the last Ramadan, I mean, if you see the atrocities which happened during this month, which they call it the month of Allah, you will see that even the Allah, if there is any, and of course there is none because it's all homemade, has no shame. I mean, it's really unbelievable that if there is Allah, he will see those kind of barbarism happening in a nation where the majority of the people are his followers, and then he will keep quiet. Oh, and I'm sure he's smiling because Arabs are getting richer, and that was the main purpose of creating this Arab Allah. Before that, we had Christian God, where the Christian clergies and popes were making a lot of money and getting a lot of benefits, and the average Christian was in dire condition. Same, Arab Allah is only helping Arabs, as did the Abrahamic faith, where the Yahweh was only helping Jews, and the non-Jews were treated like dirt. I mean, imagine this religion which has so much racism, starting from Abraham, who said that you are the king, you can have as many wives as you want, and you can take as much percentage of interest as you want from non-Jews. So they discriminated around non-Jews so much that they became richer, and the other minorities, they remained poor. They were like what we call in India the baniyas, who had everybody's property under their guarantee, and they give somebody 10,000 rupees, and even he cannot pay the interest because the interest used to be so much. But same like pawn shop in America. But the Christians, they realized that although the Jesus had disallowed interest, and his main fight during his life was against interest and the exploitation of poverty, when the banking system started in about 100 years, they saw Jews making billions and they were being left out. So they said, okay, the interest charged by the bank is not that much that Jesus will be angry, and we will do also banking system. And that's where the Jews had a competition, and that competition helped the average person. Because in competition, the prices always go down. But unfortunately, the Muslims remained dumb and stupid for more than 1500 years. Only after 1970, when the Arabs, they got a lot of oil money through blackmail, that they picked up some mullahs and they say, oh, okay, there is an Islamic banking system also. There is an Islamic credit card also we can do. And there is Islamic stock exchange. Though they are trying to cover up trying to give some competition to Jewish and Christian banks. Actually, banks have no religion these days because the banks are banks and they are owned by stockholders, which were in Western world, the majority is Christian, and some of the Jews also have some controlling share in some banks. But the Muslims started this here in Muslim world, particularly in Pakistan, where these Pakistani mullahs, whose soul was sold out or bought by Saudis, that they said, okay, this is allowed. Now we have Islamic banking system. But unfortunately, the Pakistani people are still suffering because the interest charged by the Islamic banks is higher than the regular bank, which is not non-religion. And it will take maybe 200 years before they can catch up with the Western banks or banks based on not on religion but on ideology of human right, freedom, and the justice and equality. Anybody who takes interest from the bank has to pay the same interest. The rich people, they may have some benefits because of their credit values. Otherwise, if you take a loan from the bank, the interest is standard. And it is said, it is established by a regulatory authority which watches those interest rates, who can bring down the interest rates if the economy is slow or the inflation is low. Or they can bring up the interest rate if the inflation is high and economy is running too fast. So because in economic terms, you have to keep a balance between the inflow money and the bank rate. But anyway, I mean, coming back to this drama, what GSQ and ISI is doing, I heard a very interesting news coming from India that the Indian ambassador in Ireland, he wrote an article where he blamed the opposition party. And there is a big hue and cry about it, and the demands are being made to sack him because the Foreign Office is a government entity and they are not allowed to comment on opposition or any political party. Even if they had been a part of the political system, they cannot be so unjust to the other political party. Whereas in Pakistan, we see that most of the ambassadors are political appointees, and they always support the government instance, no matter what. Many of them are military men who are low IQ, inter-pass, and have no idea how to run any ambassadorship or foreign office. That is why we see the condition of Pakistan's embassy in overseas. It is the most abysmal, because the ambassador, he comes to office maybe 1 or 2 hours a day, and then he make excuses. Oh, this minister was here, so I went to see him. Oh, the government was doing a meeting with us, and I was busy in there and all that nonsense. So the handling and the customer service for Pakistanis is almost zero. Where the Indian ambassador, he works for the benefit of the people, and they provide everything they can to facilitate their NRI, what they call it, non-resident Indians who are overseas, who may be their national, but if they want to have a family, they can still be Indian national, and they can go to embassy and get the job done. Whereas in Pakistan, they take like 30 minutes just to pick up the phone. And in most cases, even after 30 minutes, there is no answer. And everybody has to communicate through email or some other sources, where the answer takes weeks in some cases. So in India, we see that the bureaucracy is not allowed, or even Foreign Office is not allowed, to make any political comment or be a part of any politics. In Pakistan, we see that everything is controlled by this GSQ gang, and they involve everybody in politics. I mean, and the bureaucracy. I mean, imagine a commissioner in Rawalpindi, he sends a Twitter message that I have been forced to change the winners of 13 seats in Islamabad. Next day, he vanishes. And then people are told that he has some mental issues. That means they beat the hell out of him, and they made him a mental case that he has to change his stance. He said, no, I was not in my sense when I sent that Twitter. And it's amazing. In the last 2 months, we have no Twitter in Pakistan. Twitter, which is like a daily or every minute messaging and information center, has been banned, because most of the Twitter posters, they curse this bastard Asim Munir and his other journals, at least top 20, and they expose them. They blatant their violation of laws and constitution, and curse them every minute for not having any common sense or any self-respect. And that is why the government of Pakistan says, oh, we asked Twitter to control the messaging so that our laws are not violated. And by that they mean that we have a law in Pakistan where nobody can take the name of Asim Munir. You take the name of Asim Munir and you go to jail. I mean, you can curse the Prime Minister, you can curse the President, you can curse the Chief Justice, but you cannot curse this bastard. If you even take his name, you go to jail. And they will try you in military courts. This is how barbaric this GSU is, who is running a parallel government in Pakistan. While in the rest of the world, the army is doing its job, is not involved in any property business, is not involved in any industry, they have no Fauji sugar mill, they don't have any NLC, they call it National Logistics, which takes all the contracts by force from the government at their rates, and they control the Foreign Office, they control the Interior Ministry, you name it. I mean, there is not even a single officer in Pakistan who feels that he has any responsibility or any power to provide relief to the people or help them survive with peace and tranquility and with justice. Because once they see that the policeman is jumping over their fence and beating their woman, they know who is doing it. They know who sent this police troopers who will kidnap anybody from the road. I mean, there was a Hindu marketing manager in ARY News. The ISI, they picked him up, and we don't have any news what happened to him. Even the courts are unable to demand that he should be produced in front of court and some proper charges, if there are any, should be levied. But the GSU gang did it to traumatize and blackmail ARY News. And then after May 9th, every channel has been totally made to surrender. So much so that they cannot take the name of Imran Khan, they cannot show the picture of Imran Khan, and all that nonsense. I mean, there was an IMF delegation who came to facilitate some loan to Pakistan, and they demanded that they meet Imran Khan to get his approval, because everybody was expecting that Imran Khan is going to come back in power. So they let him meet him, but that meeting's picture, everybody was shown except the face of Imran Khan. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there is a country on this planet who are doing these kind of stupid things to its most famous political leader. Now the news are very ripe that now they are talking to Imran Khan, and they know that even after getting the IMF approval, the country is not in a situation to sustain its economy, and until the political situation calms down, the economy will never progress. Now my opinion is that even if they accept demand of Imran Khan or give power to his party, he will not be able to do anything, because being a bastard military on your head is one thing, but the main thing which is needed for economy to grow is to bring back Pakistan back to 60s, where the mullah power was almost zero, where GSQ gang was still doing mischief but not to that extent, where we had some better image of Pakistan in the world, where the tourists were still coming and people were happy and they were kind to them, instead of today where every Pakistani hates every foreigner except Arabs, who they call their owner and claim that we are their dogs, and that's the only people they respect or like. Any other nation, particularly the Western civilized nation, they have big grudge out of it, because they are still in the mentality of 7th century, where the Arabs, they hated everybody, even the non-Arab Muslims. But the people of Pakistan have no idea what the real fact about Islam is, what kind of stupid book they read every day, and they call it Quran al-Kareem and Quran al-Hakim and all that nonsense. Because it is that book, because it is that Sharia stupidity, and because it is the rituals they are involved 24/7, which waste 30% of their time, they will never be able to do any progress in their life. Their life is done. There is no way Pakistan can survive and remain as an independent country. It has become a threat to the world. And even though we saw a little fight between Iran and Israel, I don't see any importance to Pakistan. The Saudi foreign minister did visit Pakistan last week just to tell them, okay, we are counting some dollars to send it to your bank, but In the meantime, please do not talk to Iran and do not support Iran. And instead, they are blackmailing Pakistanis to make sure they can get some military benefits out of it. I mean, I know the situation of Hamas is about to end and Hamas will be no more. As a matter of fact, Hamas is no more even today, because all Hamas leadership has run away from Gaza, and all Hamas leadership is in Qatar. And that is what is going to happen. In my view, the Israel is definitely going to answer the stupid missile shower of Iran, which did no damage, but they probably will wait till this Gaza drama is over, and then they will attack Iran in the middle of the night or early morning hours and eliminate their air force, their missile centers as much as possible, and mainly their nuclear sites. This is going to be a huge, huge response, and there is a likelihood that they might even have a nuclear attack on Iran, just to give a message to the Arab world in particular, that don't ever think to attack, do anything against us. We are not doing anything to you, so you refrain from all the stupidity, barbarism and terrorism against us. We know how to deal with you, and we will deal every one of you the same way we have dealt with Iran. And I hope that incident creates a big revolution in Iran, and the people of Iran can get rid of this Khomeini gang, who has single-handedly destroyed a great country, a great civilization, and a country which was once the most powerful in the Middle East. I've said many times, whenever there is a mullah in control, the nation, community, or the country is destined to fail and self-destruct itself. Because the mullah is the one gang which has no job. I mean, if today the religion from Iran is taken away, next day morning everybody will do the same work, same chores. They'll go to work, they will go to factory, they will go to industries, they will work whatever they can, but the mullah will have nothing to do. That is why it is very important that the Khomeini gang is removed from Iran, for the safety of this world, for the security of this world. And then the civilized world make sure that they can bring some civility in Middle East, something which is very important for the nation living in Middle East. Right now they are all living under corrupt dictators, so-called caliphs, kings, you name it. That has to go. That has to stop. In the next 10 years, I see the Shit of Islam getting out of even Saudi Arabia, who is ditching it left and right. And because they have achieved, they have made enough money from this religion, which helped them survive for 1500 years. And since now they have oil, and they are concentrating on tourism, and then they are making big fake stories like a new city Saudi Arabia is building at a place where Moses crossed the Red Sea. Really? I mean, Moses, why would he go to the sea to save his people? He has a very simple land route through Sinai. I mean, why would he jump on the... And then this story, most probably created by Jews, and then later Christians and then copied by Muslim, I mean Arabs, that Moses entered in the sea and the sea divided into two, and his people, they ran to safety. And then when the pharaohs tried to chase them, the river came back and they all drowned. I mean, these kind of stories are part of any stupid religion, which have no scientific basis, which has no facts behind it. But Saudi Arabia is spreading the news that he is making this new city, which will be like in a straight line, and spending more than $1 trillion. And so they are moving away from this Mecca, Medina, and maybe in the next couple of decades, they might lease it to India or give it back to India, because Mecca was basically an Indian mosque, which Muhammad allegedly removed the idols, which seemed to be totally fake as well, because this building is only 120 square yards. And the mullahs says, the Muslim mullah says, there were 300 idols in that building. Really? I mean, the Hindus are simple, but not that simple, that they will put 330 idols or 300 idols in a small building of 120 square yards. And while the facts are telling us that this building was not constructed by Abraham, because Abraham never came to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia was known to nobody at the time of Abraham, or even after Jesus. The only information which we have in history book is that in 200 AD, a European traveler was passing by through that area, and he said there is a place called Mecca, and the people have a building with a black stone, and they rotate around this and they pray like that. And in that area, or in that peninsula, there are many towns who have similar buildings and different color of stones. But the Muslims, they claimed that Abraham built this house. And you will be amazed to see that that house is so poor. If you look into the quality of that house just 100 years ago, you will see that it is a third class building. And even the cheapest mosque in the world or in Pakistan was built better than it. And they said this is first house of Allah. And then we have another mullah, it's like a goat face, Dr. Zakir Naik. He brought one map and he put Mecca in the center of the world. That is stupid. Don't know that even the toilet he sits on is in the center of the world, because this world is round. Everything in this world is in its center. But anyway, when we have such a stupid people telling Muslims what to do and what is good for them, the Muslim nation, particularly Pakistanis, they have no future. They have to get rid of this shit. They have to put every mullah on the job, give them professional training, close down 90% of the mosque. Because mosque is a disease. Mosque is a curse. And as recently one mullah said, when he... I think his name is Engineer Muhammad Ali something, when a news of a mullah raping a young boy of 12 years came to him, he said 90% of the mosque this thing is happening. So these are basically the sexual harassment places, and they must be removed, and every mullah should be removed, particularly if he is an imam, and put to work. Every mullah should be educated, given some professional training, if he is less than 50 years. If he is over 50, he is a lost case. The country has to just tolerate them until they die. But the new generation can be saved by putting these mullahs back to work, make them some better human beings, and then save the country. There is no other way. God bless.